A very good morning to you all. Good morning, church. Welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Welcome especially on this very special day, a typical Scottish summer day. I'm sure if you are told you are as unpredictable as the Scottish weather, this is what it means, that in summer you have such weather. But welcome, and welcome especially to those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. Welcome also to myself and family. We've been away on holiday to Birmingham, Coventry, Leicester, and Leeds. So we were in the Midlands, and we are glad to be back. After the service, teas and coffees are served at our church hall. You can access that hall through my left, and you are all welcome to come and enjoy fellowship with us after service. In the course of the week, we lost one of our church members and friends. I'm sure some of you would remember Evelyn Oliver, who usually came on a wheelchair and sat there. She passed on last week. Can I ask the congregation please to kindly stand for a moment of silence? Dear God and Father, you gave Evelyn to us, and you've called her out of the darkness of this world back into your marvelous light. May her soul and the souls of all those who've departed rest in perfect peace. Amen. Please be seated. And 2 weeks ago, I'm sure some of you would remember, we had the Thanksgiving service of William Berry, who passed on. And that was arguably the most attended service in this church. I was really pleased with the number of people who turned out. And I want to thank all those who prepared the service in one way or the other, especially those who were working with the machines to get everything ready, and those who acted as ushers during that service. Thank you very much, and Elizabeth is back in church this morning. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn, 519, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift, the one who calls us not only to follow but to surrender all for the sake of your kingdom. We come before you now aware of our longing for eternal life, yet weighed down by the things we are reluctant to let go. We approach you with reverence, recognizing your holiness and justice, and at the same time with gratitude for your mercy is new every morning. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lovingly calls us to life beyond the security of wealth, comfort, and status, to a life of total trust and radical obedience. But Lord, like the rich young man in the gospel, we confess that we often go away sorrowful because we find your call too costly. We cling to possessions, power, pride, and self-sufficiency. We keep commandments outwardly, but our hearts are far from surrender. We want eternal life, yet we are afraid to let go of the things that define us more than your grace. Forgive us, O God, for the idols we worship in secret. Forgive our reluctance to follow you wholeheartedly. Forgive the ways we measure our worth and security, not by your promises, but by what we own and what others see. Have mercy on us. Break the chains that bind us to what is temporary. Teach us to treasure what is eternal, and create in us hearts that long not for earthly reward, but for the joy of being with you, where all things are possible through your power and grace. May we, like the disciples, leave behind what is familiar and trust that whatever we give up for your sake will be repaid a hundredfold with joy, purpose, and eternal life. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, now is the time to worship, is in 196.
Good morning, children.
Good morning, children. Good morning. How are we today? We are good. Are you enjoying the weather? You? It's been really hot, and then the rain, it helps quite a bit, doesn't it? Good. So this morning, we've come to the point where we have a children's address. I've been wondering how to begin today. I want to talk to you about somebody in the Bible who is called a rich man. Who is a rich man? If they say somebody is rich, what comes to your mind? Yes? People who've got a lot, lots of money. Yeah? A lot of money. It's a rich man, of course. Bank balances. Huge savings in the bank. Is that all? Rich man or rich woman? A big house. Okay. A lot of money, a big house. What again? So when we say somebody is rich, it means the person has material things and money. And the person can buy everything. Okay? I once heard somebody say the British passport or the American passport can take you everywhere in the world except one place, heaven. It means that with that passport, you can go everywhere in the world. You'll be allowed. You don't need visas except heaven. So when we talk about rich people, usually in our minds, these are people with money, much money, maybe people who have won lottery or earned big salaries, and they've saved up, and they have big houses, big cars, and we want to see big cars, go to America. There are not many big cars here. Big cars, big houses, big everything. There was a man in the Bible who is referred to as a rich man. So he had everything. Then he went to Jesus and asked him what he needed to do to have eternal life. Eternal life means living with God, enjoying the benefits of heaven. Do you know what Jesus told him? Can anybody remember the story of the rich man in the Bible? No. Jesus told him to love people, to obey the commandments that are in the book of Exodus, to be good to people, and he told Jesus he had done all those things. Then Jesus said another very important thing to him. He said, go and sell all the things that you have and give the money to the poor. Imagine Jesus asking you to sell everything that you have, if you are a rich man or a rich woman, and give the money to the poor. If you would do that, raise your hand, let me see. Will you do that? Will you sell everything you have and give the money to the poor? You are very honest. I see you nodding your heads. No. Very honest children. So that was a very difficult thing. I don't think Jesus was actually saying he should give away everything he has. But Jesus was saying that you can keep all the commandments, but if you are not generous, if you don't share what you have with other people, then it is not enough. And that brings me to another question. How often are we willing to share what we have? Sometimes when we have something, we hold on to it. And even when we are advised to share with our friends or with our siblings, no, it's mine. Do you always do that sometimes? Do you do that sometimes? Be honest. Do you? You do sometimes. That's very good. You are very honest. It's very unlikely, okay? So you like to share. So what? One of the things I want us to learn is that we should be able to share what we have. Share what we have with our siblings. Share what we have with our friends, even in school. And share what we have with people we don't know. I know sometimes we do collections here where you are asked to bring some of your toys that you no longer use to donate, so that they can send it across to other parts of the world where people don't have those things. necessities. So we should be willing and we should be happy to share. And if we do that, Jesus Christ says that will give us access into the kingdom of God. So we don't only love our neighbors by saying that by actions or by words. We love them by actions, by doing things with them, by loving them and by sharing with them. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this time of worship and prayer, and especially of teaching with the children. Thank you for their lives. We pray that you continue to open their hearts to your word, that whatever we teach them, whatever they learn, they should be able and willing to put it into practice as we build your kingdom together here on earth. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. 5:31.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Lamentations. It's Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 32, which can be found on page 826 of the Pew Bible or on the overhead behind me. Lamentations chapter 3, starting at verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. And our second reading is the story of the rich young man that the children heard earlier. And it can be found in Matthew chapter 19. And I'm reading verses 16 to 22 and then verses 27 to 30, which can be found on page 987 of the Pew Bible, or again on the screen behind me. Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 16, the rich young man. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. And at verse 27, Peter answered him, We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Amen, and thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. We continue our worship this morning by singing hymn 448, Lord, the light of your love is shining. Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, your steadfast love never ceases, and your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. As we come to your word today, we ask for eyes to see and ears to hear. Speak to us through the scriptures, that we may not cling to the riches of this world, but trust in the riches of your grace. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer and Teacher, we pray. Amen. Dear Christian friends, this morning I want to reflect with you on the theme Hope in the Silence, Remembering Mercy Amid Ruins. Hope in the Silence. And let me begin by asking you a very spiritual and deeply theological question. Have you ever tried calling someone and after four rings, you get a voicemail that says, "Sorry, I can't take your call right now," and you are tempted to reply, "Well, neither can I take your silence." Now imagine doing that with God, and he doesn't even leave a voicemail. Let us be honest, sometimes talking to heaven or praying feels like sending a WhatsApp message and seeing only one tick, message sent, no delivery, no reply. And you start wondering if heaven has signal issues or maybe the angels are on annual leave. I am reminded of a quote by the Scottish historian Thomas Carlyle. This is what he wrote. "A man lives by believing something, not by debating and arguing about many things." He was talking about faith. But sometimes when you are in a crisis, faith does not feel like believing something. It feels like arguing with silence, waiting for a reply that does not come. And that brings us to today's question. Have you ever felt like heaven has gone quiet? When the doctor comes in and his or her face is heavier than the words, when the pillow is soaked with tears but the bed still feels empty, when someone you loved now barely looks you in the eye because betrayal has taken up residence, when you pray but all you hear is the echo of your voice. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever whispered like Job, "God, are you watching this?" Or cried like David, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" If you have ever sat in the waiting room of despair, if you have ever stared at a broken dream, if you have ever tasted grief so bitter that even food loses its flavor, then Lamentations 3 is your story. Lamentations 3 is not just a poem, it is a cry from the heart, filled with sorrow, struggle, and surprising hope. Though the author is not named, both Jewish and Christian traditions have long seen the prophet Jeremiah behind these words, a man who knew pain, loss, and the silence of God. Chapter 3 begins in darkness like a funeral song echoing through ruined streets, but then unexpectedly it shifts. Out of the ashes rises a breathtaking truth. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. But to truly grasp the beauty of that mercy, we must first enter the world in which these words were born. A world of war, exile, hunger, and heartbreak. Only then can we understand the depth of a God whose grace keeps showing up, even when everything else has fallen apart. The Book of Lamentations was written in 587 BC, after Jerusalem was destroyed. the Babylonians had invaded, torn the city apart, and left it in ruins. Walls were flattened, streets emptied. The temple, once alive with worship, had become rubble. Most people had been dragged into exile, and the few who remained were destitute and broken. The city is pictured like a grieving widow, abandoned, friendless, powerless, and crushed by sorrow. And in the middle of that grief, it even seemed as though God had turned away. The temple, his dwelling place, was desecrated. Sacrifices ceased. Holy days were forgotten. The very altar had been rejected. The people's enemies mocked their collapse, asking, "Is this the city once called the perfection of beauty?" The weight of divine judgment had fallen. The pain was so deep, the poet cried, "Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look and see, is there any sorrow like my sorrow which the Lord has inflicted?" The lament is not just historical, it is deeply human. It captures the disorientation, the fear, the grief that war and disaster bring. And today, even in our world, where people suffer in war-torn nations like Syria, Ukraine, Cameroon, Sudan, and others, we hear echoes of that same cry, "God, where are you?" In 21st century Europe, it is harder to relate to national devastation. But what Lamentations captures is not just physical destruction. It is the soul-crushing sense of divine absence. The temple was gone. And to the people of Israel, that meant God himself had gone silent. It is only those who have walked through spiritual desolation, those who have felt cut off from God, starved for his presence, who can truly grasp the depth of that sorrow. The prophet begins chapter 3 with the words, "I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath." He describes being driven into darkness, feeling trapped like a city under siege, as if he were already among the dead. He becomes an object of ridicule. Friends, can you feel the heaviness of this lament? This is not just sadness. It is soul deep disillusionment. It is the ache of believing God has turned his face away. And the writer cries out, "My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. My endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord." This is not poetic exaggeration. This is raw, brutal honesty. This is what we might call in Cameroonian pidgin, "I don't reach my final bus stop." Oh, I have reached or arrived my final bus stop. We know this feeling even here in Scotland. The collapse may not be of a temple, but of a marriage. Not of a nation, but of a body fighting sickness. Not of a city, but of a reputation lost, a trust broken, a womb still silent. Sometimes the loudest voice in the room is silence, God's silence. We cry out like the poet, "Is there any sorrow like my sorrow?" But then suddenly, like a shaft of light through a thunderstorm, Jeremiah writes, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." But what changed? Not the circumstances. The temple was still in ruins. Not the pain. His heart was still heavy. But his mind shifted. He remembered. "But this I call to mind." There is power in what we choose to remember. And I say that again, there is power in what we choose to remember. He remembered the covenant that God promised never to leave or forsake his people. He remembered the character of God, faithful, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He remembered that God's grace is not a one-time deposit, but a daily miracle. That is why the hymn writer, Thomas Chilsholm, could write, "Morning by morning new mercies I see, all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." So let me ask you now, what are you calling to mind today? Is it the words that someone said to break you? Is it the test result you haven't told anyone about? Or is it the womb that remains silent? The marriage that feels more like a cold war than a covenant? This I call to mind. You can choose what to meditate on. You can choose what defines your story. And here is the truth. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, even when you are too tired to pray. Even when your faith feels like a flickering candle, even when you have no words, just tears. His mercies meets you new every morning. And sometimes, like the rich young man in Matthew's gospel, what keeps us from receiving mercy that is new every morning is not the absence of God's love, but the presence of what we refuse to let go. In Matthew 19, we are told that a wealthy young man came to Jesus. He had everything, education, status, and morality, but something was missing. Jesus told him, "Go sell what you have, then come follow me." But the man walked away sorrowful, not because Jesus was harsh, but because he couldn't let go of what he thought was life. Some of us are walking through life sorrowfully, not because we lack money, but because we are holding onto things God is asking us to release. Like that young man, we have an ache for more, but we settle for less. Peter then asked Jesus, "What about us, Lord? We left everything." And Jesus said, "Everyone who has left houses, brothers or sisters or fields will receive 100-fold and eternal life as well." This is the paradox of the kingdom. Loss can lead to abundance. Grief can lead to grace. Because God never wastes pain, he redeems it. And if redemption is real, as I believe it is, then even what breaks us can be the very thing God uses to bless us. So permit me to ask you today, what are you carrying? Maybe it is guilt. Some moral failure weighs on you, even here in church. You wonder if God could ever forgive or restore you. Call this to mind. His mercies are new every morning. Maybe it is illness. The doctor's report was not good. Your hope is failing or fading. Call this to mind. His love never fails. Maybe you are still grieving. Someone you love is gone, and the ache hasn't erased or eased. Or maybe you have lost your job. Maybe it is a betrayal that shattered your trust. Whatever your situation, whatever your trial, remember this. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Don't let the Savior pass you by today. Hold fast to the covenant he made. Rest in it. Trust it. Cry out to him. Call something to mind. As C.S. Lewis once said, hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny.
And so, like Jeremiah and like Peter, we bring our bitterness to the altar, not to pretend it never happened, but to proclaim that pain will not have the final word. You may still be in the ruins, but hope is rising. You may still be crying, but joy is coming. You may feel forgotten, but grace has your name on it. And as long as morning still comes, mercy is still flowing. So rise again, pray again, hope again, because this we call to mind, and therefore we have hope. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Yes, Father, your steadfast love never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Thank you for your word, O God. We ask that you fall afresh on us, bless us, strengthen us, and give us the faith which we need to withstand the challenges that come our way. Amen. Our next hymn, number 14, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." Let us pray. There is a responsory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, our Father, we thank you for the many blessings we have received from your hand. And what we offer to you now, our gifts of money, is only a portion of what you've blessed us with. Use this money and use us to further the work of your kingdom here on earth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us intercede. Let us pray. Faithful and ever-present God, we come before you with hearts both heavy and hopeful, bringing to mind the brokenness of our world and the unshakable truth that your mercies are new every morning. Even when we are surrounded by silence and sorrow, we remember your steadfast love that never ceases. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all who feel forgotten or abandoned by you, the lonely, the grieving, the heartbroken, and those sitting in the ruins of dreams they once cherished. May they, like the poet of Lamentations, remember your faithfulness and find comfort in your unchanging mercy. Lord, in your mercy. We lift before you the people of Newport-on-Tay and this congregation, each person carrying silent burdens, unanswered prayers, or private griefs. Teach us, O Lord, to bring our laments honestly before you, and in our waiting, awaken in us the hope that clings not to perfect outcomes, but to your perfect love. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who serve within this church, elders, ministers, volunteers, organists, caregivers, and quiet encouragers. Renew their strength, O God, and remind us that even in seasons of weariness or spiritual drought, you are present and your grace is enough. Lord, in your mercy. We remember the wider world, for nations torn by war and violence, especially Ukraine, Sudan, Cameroon, and regions where peace feels like a distant memory. In places where it seems heaven is silent, raise up voices of mercy, justice, and healing. Restore what is broken and let hope rise like dawn. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those among us waiting for healing, a diagnosis, a breakthrough, a reconciliation. For the ones staring at a silent womb, or the one living in the ache of loss. O Lord, give courage to those who wait in the shadows and whisper again your promises of mercy that never end. Lord, in your mercy. Finally, we pray for ourselves. Help us to remember what is true, not just what we see or feel. Teach us to call to mind your faithfulness when our world trembles, and to hold fast to hope, not because of our strength, but because of yours. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our anchor in every storm. Amen. Our final hymn, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross.
Thank you.
in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.